What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 215. All right, so we are doing a back-to-back guest episode because, you know, we have to have that end of the year, kind of that New Year's episode with the amazing Jess, aka my wife, and, you know, just happened to where it's going to be on back-to-back guest week. So that's always cool. I know y'all love listening to her. Now, this episode is going to be a little bit different. The past couple of years, we've kind of done like some wins and some goals and, you know, looking forward, which we do still do some of that in this episode. But a big part of this episode as well, and we kind of joked about Paul Revere, which is because Jess wasn't quite sure who Paul Revere is. And if you don't, you should probably study history, but that's a whole other topic. But having said that, I do personally believe this coming year, going into a very, very highly contested presidential election, there's going to be a lot of turmoil. It's going to be very chaotic in a lot of ways. So this was more an episode about how do we navigate that coming into this year? How do we, you know, stay true to our faith, to our vision, to our morals? How do we make sure that we live the absolute best that we can, even if this is going to be a crazy year? So hopefully you guys love it. Also, speaking of making the best year ever, living the best version of yourself, make sure go to crossoutmeats.com, get yourself some meat, get on the subscription if you want. If you are worried about any of this stuff, we can ship it directly to your door. You can be on the subscription. You can buy it a la carte. Either way is great. Grab yourself some soap, some salve, all of that too. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. So today we are back in the New Year swing of things. As this episode releases, it will be the, 29th?
Yeah. Yep. Tomorrow morning.
And there you go. There is the voice. I would say the voice of reason, but I'm not sure sometimes if you are the voice of reason.
Yeah.
One of the girls' hairs on me. That's awesome.
It's like you're a dad of daughters.
Yes.
One poor boy.
Yes. So let's talk about this real quick because you wanted me to tell you what the topic was like you always do. And
I hate coming in blind.
Well, like whenever I have a guest on, I'm not like, okay, here's the topic.
Well, it's no, like, but they come on probably like their expertise is whatever, or their story is whatever. Like, they just get to talk about themselves. You drill me with like 500 questions of random things.
What's your expertise?
I don't know. I'm just a jack of all trades.
Really?
I don't know.
You have no expertise in anything?
I'm an expert in everything.
Oh, okay. That makes sense that you would say that. Yeah.
I'm teasing. I don't know. We're not talking about me. Anyways.
Let's talk about you.
No.
Gosh. So when you asked what the episode was about, and I said, I feel like I have to go Paul Revere here, and you were
I said, who?
You don't know who Paul Revere is?
No, I do not. I've heard the name. It's some, I think he like led something, but I don't know. Oh, so gosh. Sorry. I failed.
This is why our kids homeschooled. Yes. Our oldest child is homeschooled. So, okay, so normally what we'd like to do, let's kind of set the tempo here. Normally what we've done over the past, I believe, 2 years on the New Year's episode is like we do some goals, we talk about the year, and I would love to do that as well. But, and I don't want this to be like a doom and gloom episode, but I do feel like it's a good opportunity to talk about the coming year because if you're going to set goals, I think a really good thing to look at when you're setting goals is the temperature, right? Like the environment. For example, you're probably, maybe it's like, you know, in a real estate crash, the environment is saying, hey, maybe now is not the best time to, you know, be in real estate or whatever, right? Like the environment does have something to do with the goals that you're setting. And I think that going into 2024, there's some things that the people need to be aware of. You know, we kind of joke about it, but what did the dentist talk to you about?
our good old dentist.
Shout out to Brad. Awesome. He's awesome.
Shout out to Brad. No, we were just talking about all the things of like, you know, keeping things as under our own personal control as much as possible, right? With talking about food preservation and getting our freeze dryer and, you know, just different things that, you know, we have lots of meat, but what would you do with it? And kind of the next level of things, right? So it's not just food and shelter and water, right? Like that's always what you naturally go to, but then it's also what are the other things that, you know, might become an issue when, you know, you and I were talking about recently, like medically, are there certain things that you might want to have some antibiotic of some sort in your, you know, toolbox or, just, you know, again, what does it look like? We're always like, well, okay, you know, we have all these, you know, freezers with meat and that's great until the generator officially runs out of gas and there is no more gas. And now we can't keep them cold anymore. So what does that look like? And how are you preserving the things the next level? And, so, I mean, yeah, that's what we were talking about. All the little bit layered deeper stuff.
Well, and one of the things that I always try to do on this podcast is to really stay positive, because I'm not sure how good it ever does for anybody to get on and just be negative, right? Like to talk about all the bad stuff in the world. But, you know, just like 100% honesty, if you were to shoot me with the truth serum, I would say that the year that we're coming into right now in 2024 is probably, I'll just say my opinion. I think that 2024 is going to be one of the craziest years that we've ever seen. That is my personal belief. And I think that the reason for that, and we'll get to the solution to this, right? So I don't want this, again, like I don't want this episode to be a doom and gloom. But when we're talking about new year and the environment that we're going to be operating in, I think it's also very important to understand what that could look like. And in my opinion, going into 2024, there's like 7 different powder kegs that could explode at any minute that would completely upend our way of life. You know, you have this Middle East conflict, you have this Russia-Ukraine war that hopefully is winding down. You know, we've seen, you know, former President Trump be essentially booted off the ballot now in 2 states. I just saw Maine now today said that he's not able to be on the ballot there for president. And so the last time that we had states that were taking a president off of the ballot prior to an election was 1860. And I think I asked you this the other day, yeah, but do you know what happened a year after that? Now you do, right?
Now I do, but yes.
What is it?
That was the year, I mean, I'm not going to know exact, but like, wasn't that the year that Abe Lincoln went in, was president or... Something had to do with it.
Abraham Lincoln was the one who was pulled off of the ballot, but
pulled off, but
in 1860 in some of the southern states, and then 1861 kicked off the Civil War.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so, you know, and what I see happening is that, you know, as we go into this, and then you have this insane amount of, and again, like I don't even care what your political views are, we have millions of people, and a lot of which, like if you see the videos, are like military age males, like 18 to 25 year old males coming across our southern border. And they're not just like Mexican families, you know, that we like
coming
to think about
the new world.
Yeah. Coming over to make a living for themselves, which, you know, I believe in strong borders. I think that's part of what makes your country a country. But I also could understand like, hey, if you're living in the dumps in a third world country and you could somehow sneak across the border and make a better life for yourself and your kids, I mean, that's hard for me to judge those people, right? Like, I think that's what we're all trying to do. So it's hard for me to judge those people. But when you see literally hundreds of thousands and millions of people coming across our border, we have these overseas conflicts, we have, you know, this political turmoil. And then I also think, like, even if you're a big Trump supporter, so let's say that it's, what, November, whatever, 7th or whenever we vote for president. Let me ask you this. Let's say that Trump loses, but it's kind of some fishy stuff again, right? Like there's a water leak at a polling station or, you know, some of the weird stuff. There's mail-in ballots because maybe, you know, another pandemic is whatever. And this election is questioned again, and people think that they were robbed a presidential election, maybe for a second time. What do you think happens at that point?
Well, I mean, I think it's not going to be good.
No, it's not going to be
good. A lot of people are going to go crazy.
And so then, but then what I also think about is, let's say Trump wins.
Then it's just going to get real crazy.
Then you have these nut jobs that were like setting up like CHOP or Chaz or whatever in Seattle over the George Floyd stuff and Portland burning down and, you know, everyone saying he's a, like, I don't see a way to where, regardless of who is elected president, and that's even assuming that it's smooth sailing until November, right? Which I personally don't think is going to happen. I think something, if not multiple things, are going to happen. Like the soil has just been prepared, whether that's all these people coming across our southern border and there's terrorist attacks and there's mass chaos and there's, you know, civil disobedience. You know, there's already, I was just reading something today saying that they're planning on New Year's Day, which is just a couple of days away from now in New York, where they do the big Times Square drop, that there's going to be this mass pro-Palestinian protests. And so that's got people fired up, and the southern border's got people fired up, and the presidential election, like, there's just all these powder kegs that it seems like any one of these things could just create mass chaos. And so again, like, I'm not saying this because I want people to be freaked out or scared or doom and gloom. But I think that as we go into the new year, we have to start thinking about things that maybe are a little less superficial or a little less materialistic than just, hey, my goal for this next year is to get a new Mercedes. And so when it comes down to what 2024 is going to look like, I believe this is going to be a very, very weird year. And I'm not sure how it's going to be weird yet, but it seems like, again, there's just so many different things that could go wrong. Could it be another pandemic? Could it be, you know, like, I do believe, again, at my core, if you were to give me truth serum, that there are people who have a hold of power who do not want to relinquish that. And they would do just about anything to keep themselves from being held accountable for maybe some of the things that they've done. So let me pose this question to you. If you were somebody who was, let's say, pulling the strings, you were above most of the politicians that we know, most of the, you know, the lawmakers and this whatever. And if you knew there was a chance that you could lose your power and maybe even potentially lose your life because if people found out what you were doing, they would come for you. What would or wouldn't you be willing to do in order to preserve that power?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking you that.
I don't even understand the question. So if I'm above the lawmakers and above everybody.
Yeah, let's say
they've got me, my name's on Weinstein's list or that type of a thing. Like, they've got me Epstein, whatever the hell his name is, the guy. You know what I was talking about? Like that type of, like, I'm blackmailed or something?
No,
or?
I'm saying that you are one of the actual real power brokers in this world.
Okay. Above all that crap.
Above all of that stuff.
But if I say anything.
No. And let's say that you're about, like, let's say that if maybe elections go a certain way or if social media goes a certain way and people start finding out that you actually could be held responsible for some of the things that you've done, is there anything that you would or wouldn't? I mean, maybe.
What do you mean? I'm held responsible for what?
For the things that you've done.
Like what?
Crimes against humanity. Let's put it that way. Maybe you were. Why are you not understanding?
Because I'm so confused. I'm so sorry. But like, okay. What have I done?
You have been the one who has stoked whether that's racial division.
Oh, I've like created all this crap that's been going on the last little while.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Gotcha.
The creator, the puppet master.
Okay.
Yes. And now let's say that there's a chance that you could be held accountable for that.
Gotcha.
What wouldn't you or would you be willing to do? I mean, and let me answer.
I mean,
the
I'm not in
you.
That mindset. I mean, that's where I guess I'm confused by it. But I mean, I think the people who are in that are going to do whatever they can do to keep their name clean. Obviously.
There you go.
I mean, they're doing that today.
You would do anything that you could to keep yourself from being held 100%. Accountable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to.
So let's say this. Let's say that you had, hypothetically, you had, you know, maybe you fixed an election.
Mm-hmm.
And now the people might find out that you did that and you're going to be held accountable. Would you be willing to launch a new virus?
Well, of course they're going to.
Well, of course, like you would, right? Because it would take the attention away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you be willing to try to start a new war?
Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. That's all of it. It's like, let me make you look over here so this stuff's going on over here.
And that's what I'm getting at, is that if you're going to have accountability, there is going to be a lot of pain along the road of that. Now, I'm not sure if we will have accountability. I'm not sure what would even happen if, what are you looking at? Oh, you on your phone?
No, you're good. Oh. Keep going.
What do you got going on over there?
Nothing. Go talk. Oh my gosh.
You pulled up your phone like you're...
No, it was not looking at something. My mom was sending me a picture of something. You're good.
Oh, okay.
I'm focused. Go.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So back in this hypothetical though, like I look at it to where the people who, in my opinion, would be responsible for some of this stuff that is literally making our country go to crap would be willing to do anything they can to save their own hide, right? Mm-hmm. And so if, in fact, this election comes down to accountability, then I think there's going to be a lot of stuff thrown at us that could potentially be very, very worrisome. Mm-hmm. So if we know that, right? And I think that that's part of it. If we know there's a good chance that 2024 is going to be crazy, my question to you would be, and I'll answer this to the best of my ability as well, but my question to you would be, okay, we know there's going to be chaos. We already know it, right? Like how much chaos, how little chaos, we don't know that for sure. But just even judging by 2020, 2020 was chaotic, right? We had, you know, the obviously COVID, right into the George Floyd stuff and the riots and the, you know, all the craziness and people burning down cities. Like, I feel like that was just like a little bit of a show compared to what 2024 is going to bring. But even if it's a little less chaos, like I feel like most of us realize what's kind of coming. What is your advice to the people out there going into 2024?
What is my advice? I would say, I mean, it's going to keep your house in order. Like, I mean, I think it's, you're going to have to be really strong and with your core people, your core faith. I mean, because that's what you're going to have to lean on. Like when things get crazy, like that's where you're going to have to be at. You've got, you know, those ride or die people that are going to be right alongside you with whatever you might need, or, you know, again, that like kind of village that you have around you to, you know, take care of certain things or help with certain things or, you know, whatever that might look like. And then, I mean, for me personally, it's a huge faith standpoint because like I can't fix everything, but to me, it's like God's above government and rulers and people and all the things. And so there's a little bit of like that faith standpoint of being like, okay, like ride it out, you know, I mean, see what you can do.
Well, with your faith though, where does that come into, like the decisions that you'll potentially be faced with?
Well, I mean, I think one, even just looking back with the pandemic and all that BS, it was like, I mean, I am in a very, anybody who knows me knows that I can be a very anxious and like fearful person if I let myself. And it's like, I was a constant repeater of like, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Like, you know, this is all from Satan, all in my head, like, or not in my head, but you know, like the fears, the what ifs, like, great. Like that's all there. And fear is a natural thing, right? Like there's a reason to be scared to run out in front of a car. There's a reason. I mean, there's fear. There's a physical side of it, but there's also a fear that's like, you could sit in your room and just freak yourself out all day long that there's, you know, a boogeyman outside the door. So it's like that fear, like choosing to have faith over fear. And I know it's cliche now in the sense, like everybody says that, but it truly was where it's like, you know what? Like I have to have faith that like God is bigger than this. I have to move forward with what our life looks like. And, you know, some of you know, like through all of that, like here was like our life pretty much continued on as normal. Were we stupid? Were we like doing things, maybe what you'd say reckless, I guess to some we were. But you know, I mean, I guess, you know, especially at the beginning of things where we didn't really know what was going on, there was research done. There was, you know, things being listened to. There was information being sought. But at the same time, it was like, okay, well, I'm going to make a decision, not listen to the fear factor that everybody's just piling on us to get us more and more scared. And you should be scared and you should be scared. And so there became like, I'm going to make this decision in what I know and what is true. And like from a faith standpoint versus let fear take over was, I don't know if that answers your question.
Do you think, and this is something that I find to be like such a fascinating case study through COVID, which is, you know, so many of us, I won't even say them, like out there, whatever, like so many of us, when your faith is truly put to the test, like how many of us can pass that test? Mm-hmm. Like that's something that I think going into the new year and the potential chaos or craziness that could come is a real legitimate question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you were lined up and it was like, hey, do you believe in God? And the person in front of you was like, yes, and they got shot. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen this year, but you know what I mean? Like that is faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what I guess I'm getting at is that I feel like the only way that we get out of kind of the mess that we've created is to actually have real faith. Now, I bring up that question and it's like, how hard would that be? If you were literally lined up in a line, mm-hmm, and it was like, do you believe in God? And they were like, yes. And it was like, boom. Do you believe in God? Yes, boom. Do you believe in God? Yes, boom. It would be hard to be like, nope, sure don't. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, like anybody who is honest, and I know that all of us like tough guys, blah, 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 would be like, yeah, man, I would stand in my faith and die. But you know, there's been a lot of times in history to where we've kind of realized that that's not necessarily true.
Yep.
And what I think going into this year is going to be required is for people, if you have faith, if you have morals, you have convictions, that you have to stick to those regardless, mm-hmm, of what happens.
Yep.
And you have to be willing to tell the truth. You have to be willing to call out the BS, because I think what happens and what happened in COVID is that there were so many people who were so scared of speaking out, not because of, you know, they were scared about the, you know, about COVID or they were scared about this or that. It was, and I even remember, and I think we've even talked about this, but I mean, I'll never forget, there was this time when, you know, I had made a post on, I think it was like my personal social media, not even my Primal King account or something. And someone had basically attacked me and called me greedy, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And this was somebody that I truly respected. And I remember sitting there thinking like, is this stuff worth it? Is this whole telling the truth, at least the truth as I see it, at least, you know, like, is it even worth it? Is it worth the battles and the people calling you greedy because you didn't think business should be shut down, you know? Like, I remember somebody who I truly respect, like, unfriended me on Facebook and, you know, someone in the business world. And it was just like, you know, is all of this worth it? Like, just to speak your opinion and to call people out when you feel like they need to. But I feel like as we go into what is going to be a chaotic year, I think that's even more important. Now, women are more agreeable. So I don't really see you necessarily like calling people out. And that's one of the things that I worry a little bit about is that, you know, because I do think that men are naturally more disagreeable. I think it's like Jordan Peterson who has a quiz on this and we'll talk about agreeable and disagreeable, whatever. But I think more oftentimes than not, men are more disagreeable and women are usually kind of like go along even if they don't agree with it. So having said that, and knowing that you're not one to like start political battles, like what do you think you could do or maybe other women could do, even if you're not willing to hop in there and, you know, start fighting people or whatever, like what do you think women can do in order to stand up in their faith, in their, what they perceive to be true, and at least let other people know that they're not alone if they feel the same way that you do?
I think you still like have to state your truth, right? And like you said, no, I'm not one to necessarily like be reaching out or not even reach, I don't know, like posting or trying to get like everybody all, I don't know, hot and going off on a political debate. But at the same time, like I'm more like a one-on-one conversation person. And there has been various times where things have come up and, you know, people have said things or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I also feel like I can communicate well enough to be like, you know, that's awesome. Like that's for you, but like, that's not how I necessarily see it. And, you know, but we can move on, you know, do whatever. Like, I guess having those one-on-one conversations, you have to still be able to say, well, this is what I think, or you know what, we can agree to disagree, but I don't think that that's correct, and move forward. I don't think it, you know, that's just me. Like, I'm not out looking for a Facebook fight, but.
Well, yeah, but like at the same time, cause I totally get that. Like, I don't think all of us should go out there picking fights just because it's 2024 and maybe things are going to be a little chaotic. But if everyone is standing around looking for a leader, then it's probably you who should lead, right? Mm-hmm. And if no one steps up to lead, then what you end up having is a bunch of people who feel like they're on an island. What they believe is in the minority when mm-hmm. it's probably in the vast majority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens so often where it's like everyone's kind of looking around and being like, okay, we all see this stuff as insanity, right? Like
so for what example, I would say, so what I would say from like a women's standpoint, if I'm truly like somebody out and who knows where, like, what should you do? I'd say, I mean, for like right off the top of my head, there's three different things. For one, and I think this is for me personally as well, and take this for whatever you want for some people, but it's like, you need to get in the Word of God and know the truth that's actually there. Not like what you read somewhere or some meme or whatever, but scripturally know certain things. Because I heard, and I don't remember where I even heard this, but it was like, when these things do happen, right? Like when these situations come up, you're not going to be like, oh, well, let me open my Bible and read this. No, it's like, you're going to have those instances or those verses or those stories or those things come to your mind. And that's those reminders that you need of like, okay, yes, that is what happened. Or again, God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? Like, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you exactly what verse that is, but I know it's in there and I've read it before. And I, you know, that is like what I'd clung to at different times in my life. So there's certain pieces where you have to like be preparing, is be in that Bible, like be reading, be knowing, learning, sucking that up like while you can. So when you need it, it's there. The other piece I would say is from a women's standpoint is women do want community, right? Like that's something like we're very relational people. So in our small area here, like we have like a women's Bible study. That's, you know, a group of us moms that are similarly probably minded, different in some things as well, but it's grown in just the sense of, word of mouth, I guess I would say. Like, it's not something that we advertise that we do, and it's like, come one, come all, but it's also one where it's like, hey, so-and-so met somebody else who, you know, is kind of in the same scheme of things as of life and so forth as we are. Like, I invited them to come, and then this person invited this person to come. And so like, it's almost a little more, again, not posting a banner on the wall of, you know, we are the such and such women, and this is what we believe, and you should come. But also inviting and being open to that community and build a community, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's not a Bible study for you. Maybe it's just you get different people together and are walking every day or working out or whatever it might look like. But I think, you know, no matter what's going on, 2024 or not, like having that community of people that you can do life with is extremely important. And for some, maybe that's even Facebook groups, right? Like, I mean, I think that can be a pretty, I don't know, smoke and mirror place as well, because that's just social media can be amazing, but it can also be bad because you really don't know these people and God only knows who they really are and so forth. But maybe it is something where it's, you know, you have that type of a camaraderie with people. There's, you know, start one yourself, or like I said, if you have people that are afar, get together in that sort of a way. But just collectively coming together as a community, I think is a very important thing for women as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the best things that all of us can do going into what, again, I believe is going to be a chaotic year, is to figure out how we can be the very best version of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
be the least dependent version of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And then by doing that, I feel like we will inspire other people around us to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is one thing that, because like sometimes I look at all the stuff going on politically and it, I mean, I'm not going to say it drives me crazy because it doesn't drive me crazy, but it does give me some anxiety, right? Like I'm married, I have four kids. Like, you know, we run a business, we have all this stuff going on. And so I think as a man, you go to the protect side of things. And I think that that's something to where most men are wired, whether they acknowledge it or not, most men and even younger boys. Like, I think it's very inherent in men to want to protect. In fact, you know, when you and I and Brian and Misty, like, we were kind of having a conversation around this, and Brian and I are like, yes, like, we're thinking about, you know, guns and like protection and stuff. And you guys are like, oh, the world's fine. And we're like, no, it's really not. Like, we got to, you know, we got to have more guns and more ammo, right? Yeah. But I think that that is a very natural, like, man thing to think about, is the protection side of it. Mm-hmm. And so as a man, like, I think every one of us as men have to ask ourselves, are we in a situation, are we living in a way? And I feel like I've even fell off a little bit lately, and it's really, you know, last few days especially is like, okay, I've got to get back on track for this. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, am I physically able to, you know, if worst case scenario happened in 2024 and there's, you know, God forbid there's an EMP attack and our power goes down, or there's, you know, whatever could happen, are we as men in a position physically, emotionally, you know, maybe it's preparedly, like, however you want to break it down, like, are we in a position to be able to protect? Because that is one of the most basic needs, right? Like, you go to, it's, what is it, Maslow's hierarchy of mm-hmm. needs. Yep. And at the very, very bottom of that is literally, like, food, water, shelter, right? And mm-hmm. then right above that is, like, safety, security.
Yep.
So, okay, where we are, food, water, shelter, like, we're good there. And so then, like, my second, you know, step in that hierarchy of needs is safety and security. And if you are somebody who is overweight and you're in poor health and you're not prepared, you don't maybe have any type of food storage, you don't have any type of you know, resources that could help you, you have maybe no skills to be able to hunt, fish, do anything like that, if, again, God forbid, everything went to hell, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice. And I think it's really easy, because, like, I look around and even people within my own family, it's like, if things went to hell in a handbasket, like, that guy is going to be absolutely useless.
Screwed in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just look around. Maybe. Yeah. Look around at the people that you know, and, mm-hmm. and mainly men, right, is who I'm talking to right now. Like, how many men do you know that if things did go terrible, and let's say the power went out for a month, right? Like, how many of these men would just be so ill-equipped to handle that situation? This isn't something that I want to have happen. This isn't something that I hope happens, obviously, right? But, like, if that were to happen and you had to go out and you had to hunt, you had to go out and, you know, maybe you live in the city and you had to go out and
find water,
you know, you had to find water, you had to find food, something like that. How many people could actually do that? Like, how many people...
Or even would have the idea of where to start.
Yeah, you know, where to, I mean, start. Yeah, like, if you did go and shoot an animal, like, would you even have an idea on how to, you know, gut it, how to cut it up, how to cook it, like, any of that stuff? And that is, I think, where I become very, very worried, because, and you know, you and I have had this conversation, mm-hmm. me and a ton of people I know have had this conversation, which is, if something like that happened, there would be so much chaos. Like, I don't think people understand how fragile of a society that we live in. And maybe that's what does give me the anxiety around it, which is, let's say that this whole Israel-Palestine conflict turns into, you know, us attacking Iran. Well, Iran cannot beat us. But let's say somehow, some way, they get off a lucky lob shot and they knock out our power. Like, they use some electromagnetic pulse that shuts down our power for 2 months, right? Fries all of our systems. We can't fix it. Like, how many people would die?
Lots.
Oh my gosh. Like, just think about it. Mm-hmm. And how many people need to die? And I look at it like very, very few. Mm-hmm. But because we're ill-equipped, because as men, I feel like so many of us are, you know, overweight and, you know, we don't understand how to work. We don't understand these basic, like, again,
unmotivated.
Yeah. Like, again, when you go to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like, if you don't understand that bottom level, then nothing else on that pyramid matters. And so that's where I think it comes back to, as men, especially, we are doing ourselves a disservice if we're not doing everything we can to be capable. Now, maybe you're 70 years old and you're not in your prime anymore. Okay, I get it. But like, how could you be an asset in a situation like that? How could you be the best version of yourself to do the best that you can to help your family survive? And over time, I think we just get softer and softer and softer. And that's to be expected, right? Like, of course, we're going to get softer when every meal is super easy to get. We can get DoorDash. We can get Uber Eats. We can get all this stuff. It's super simple. But, you know, I think it is an important question, regardless of how 2024 goes. Maybe it goes smooth. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to, but maybe it does. But as a man, how capable are you of handling these types of situations? What are you doing right now? You know, are you working out? Are you trying to eat right? Are you trying to do the things that could make you capable? Or if, God forbid, everything went to hell, would you be one of the people who's begging and your family is suffering for that? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's an important question. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think?
On if that's right or wrong, or what do you mean? Or like from a women's standpoint, or yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah. From a woman's standpoint, like.
No, I think it's a very true. I think same thing. Like, again, I mean, what are you capable of, you know, handling? I mean, I think that's a very accurate factor. And again, like, you know, that's one of the things that we've talked about, even from a fitness standpoint, right? Like, I'm not at my, you know, age of things. Like, I'm not out to, I guess, I don't know. I'm not out to just be like, oh, I need to work out so I can look really good in my swimsuit, right? Like, that's, I mean, obviously a added benefit, right? But more so than that, it's more like I need to be able to be functionally able to do the things that I need to be able to do. Like, we do have a very physical job around here, which is great. But even beyond that, like, I want to play with my kids. I have, you know, little girls even today in kindergarten that want me out to play basketball with them all day, you know? And so it's like, am I able to do these things, or am I no energy sitting around, you know? So again, 2024 or not, like, how are you showing up for your kids? How are you able to show up for people around you? Are you able to, you know, move the piece of furniture you want to move by yourself? Or are you like, I can't, I need to get help. Like, I mean, just like different things where I'm like, we always laugh because I'm like a very dependent, independent person because I can do things and I want to be able to do things by myself, but I like to do it with somebody else. But you know, it's one where it's like, okay, like, I don't want to have to ask for help, you know, to move a hay bale. Like, that's one of the things I remember telling Kennedy even a long time ago, like, you have to be strong enough to do this yourself. Cause are you really going to like ask somebody to help you to, cause you want to feed your animals, or like, or, you know, no, like, you need to be able to do this stuff. And I think that's where I go to from a functional, just every day. Like, how are you able to do these things? I go back kind of what Derek was saying, earlier as well, where, you know, I talk about it more from a spiritual standpoint, but maybe even just a mental standpoint, right? Like, how mentally tough are you that when things do get really hard, how are you able to move forward with that? And again, I think there's a spiritual part of that and a just perseverance, mental toughness as well. But like, there's going to be crappy days. And like, are you giving up and crying on the floor and giving up? Or like, what do you cling to? What is that deep down, like, make you take one step further thing that,
well, what do you, from a woman's perspective, or just even from your own, but like, if you were with a man who would come home from, you know, soul sucking job, 9-to-5 job, sits around, eats crappy food, you know, maybe hitting the pipe or whatever, drinking, and no motivation, no drive, no determination, no real ability most likely to be able to protect you. Like, again, outside of 2024 or whatever, is that a desirable mate?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think again, any woman, whether they want to admit it or not, want that level of being taken care of, right? Like, you want to be the treasure in someone's eye, that you are, again, treasured, taken care of, whatever. Even if, and that's not saying like, I'm going to sit here and do absolutely nothing and they're going to do every single thing for me. but you still want, again, that security, that, and that might be a partnership, right? Like, I mean, there were a lot of years that I worked a big like corporate job as well. And that was a family decision we made. And together we had the security that both of us wanted. But again, like just that's you, I am yet to find someone who is literally going to look at that person and be like, oh, this is like my dream partner because I, you know, they're going to just have this wonderful family. And what I foresee is the people that are with individuals such as that, it's like, they might be a good time or they might party with them or they might, you know, be really funny or whatever, but long-term that's wearing off pretty quick, you know, or that's like said divorces and unhappy situations. And cause that's not what's truly important to anybody that I know.
Well, I think that what ends up happening is that we've tried to distort natural law, right? We've tried to make this into something to where, you know, it's okay if the woman is the provider. And I think that it can be, right? Like I'm not saying that it's not mm-hmm. great for a woman to go out there and provide money and provide income and everything.
Absolutely.
Else.
But again, that's usually a joint. And that's something we were talking about with somebody the other day where it's like, it's one thing if that's the conversation and that's the agreement, because there are situations and I know some super successful, happy families where, you know, because of just different skill sets or whatever. And, you know, that is the person who's bringing in, you know, let's say the income standpoint.
But However, I don't think those men are happy.
Well, I was going to say, and I'm not going down that road. I was going to say though, is that the other side of it is there's other things that, and the one family I'm thinking of that the other spouse is doing, right? Like not only are they just taking care of things around the house, whatever, but it's like they're involved in a lot of other things from a volunteer standpoint. They're coaching, they're, you know, all sorts of different things they're involved when I can hear all that you're doing. Anyways, that there's other things that they're involved with for to complete that fulfillment. So I guess what I'm saying is they're not just sitting at home being like, well, I'm just going to sit here and watch TV all day. Like it's a conversation that works for their family. I guess let's go down to the root of it.
Seeing that is something to where I don't know, maybe this will piss some people off, but I don't think that those men are happy.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not close enough to anybody in that situation to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that can work. And maybe I feel like very rare circumstances.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going against natural law,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
I agree with you.
Natural order is for men to want to protect. They want to be able to provide for their women.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, again, like what that looks like could be different. But if you're not able to actually take care of your family as a man, I think there's always going to be some level of guilt. There's going to be some level of almost like emasculating them.
Yep.
And we've even been in that. And like, I can talk about this from experience from years mm-hmm. and years and years ago to where it's like, you don't feel good as a man if your woman is taking care of you.
Yeah.
Right. And
well,
again,
and
like
I would
all
say
these,
and vice versa, because you're not feeling again, that like, taken care of, right? I mean, and again, that's such a weird, I don't mean that, and like, I don't know, come at me if you're get annoyed by that, but it's like, it's that taken care of like, I was happy to provide that income, but there's definitely was also that weight on your shoulders where you're like, again, it's like you said, it's almost that imbalance where you're just, it's that like, this isn't supposed to be my responsibility type of a, I don't know.
Well, and I feel like we're supposed to not say stuff like this now because you know, as a society, we're so advanced and we're so enlightened that, you know, the woman can be the breadwinner and everything is hunky dory. But the reality is that all I can do is speak of this as a man, and also my experience around other men over the years, seeing these types of things, and they never work out well.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And so,
well, you know, and again, I guess what I would say with that is, It's one thing if there's two people that again are working and it's like they're both making maybe even the same or similar. I think sometimes that's just the situation people are having to be in, right? Yeah. And I think that's where sometimes that it can work, right? Like it's not like one's got the $10 an hour joke of a job and somebody else is carrying it. I feel like when it's very off balance is when it is felt more so, because it's not a balanced feeling, I guess, is maybe what I'm.
Yeah, but again,
you still don't like, think that's.
No, I don't, because mm-hmm. I think that
I just think there's way more families out there today that both people are having to work.
Yeah,
And it works because both are having to work.
That's a whole separate conversation, which is, it sucks.
But I guess what I'm saying is that's different to me when there's both maybe around the same amount and they're both like having to versus one's clearly a breadwinner and one is,
yeah,
might as well be home.
Yeah.
That's what I guess I'm saying the difference.
Well, and I mean, if that's your situation, great. But I'm just saying that if the man in that situation is being honest, if you were to give him the truth serum, he would be like, nah, man, I don't like this. I don't like
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like staying home. I don't like not being the breadwinner. I don't like not being the provider.
Yeah.
Now maybe if you are like a super duper, like super duper beta male, then yes, maybe. But like, I think most masculine kind of more alphas, they would not accept that. And they would feel very, very embarrassed through that. And again, mm-hmm. I can speak to this from experience where it's like, great, I'm grateful that my wife is able to have a good job and provide, but this sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah,
as a man, like, this is not where I want to be. And so, like, again, how do we get to this point? Why are we even talking about this? Because when it comes to 2024, I think men, all of you out there, if you're not right now, you need to be preparing yourself to be the best version of yourself. You need to do everything in your power, whether that is to lose a few pounds, whether that's to lift a few more weights, whether that's to get a little bit better with your guns, whether that is to sharpen up your hunting skills. I really, really do feel like, again, and this is just me being honest, and I hope I'm wrong. And the beauty about doing a podcast, like, this is what's so cool about a podcast, is that in a year from now, we could come back to this episode and be like, Derek, you are a freaking idiot, man. You were all doom and gloom, worried that everything was going to be crazy. And I'll happily admit it. If we're sitting here, Jess and I, doing this podcast on, you know, basically January 1st of what would be 2025 at that point, or December 31st of 2024, saying, hey, this was a great year, nothing happened, I will gladly eat crow on this. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see that happening. I don't know, again, how crazy it's going to be. Maybe it'll just be a little bit crazy. But I do think the next year is going to be some of the wildest times that any of us has lived through. Again, we'll see. We'll see if that comes true or not. But the reality is, whether or not it is a crazy year or whether it's just another normal year, it's never a bad idea to be the absolute best version of yourself that you can be. Whether that is, again, losing a few pounds, whether that is working out a little harder, whether that is just being a better dad or a better mom or, you know, a better friend or whatever. Like, I think that that is the beautiful thing about coming to the end of a year, is that we can say, okay, this year wasn't maybe the greatest. And I'm like the biggest hater on the whole new year, new me stuff. I hate it, because it's like, we shouldn't have to flip to a new year for you to have a new me. But again, I'll always come back to the fact of, if that is something that allows you to kind of put the past behind you and move forward, then use it. Use that new year, new me. You know, allow January 1st to be the first day of kind of the rest of your life, as much of a cliche as that is, but it really can be true. If you're waiting for January 1st to change your life, then great, stick with it. But understand that it's not going to happen by January 7th, right? It's not going to happen by February, you know, 20th. It's going to be a year-long commitment. And so my challenge, or at least my ask coming into this year, because again, like the last couple of years, we've done these goals, and I still do want to ask you a little bit around that before we wrap up. But kind of my intention with this episode was more to lay out what I feel like is a warning. Again, I hope I'm wrong about it, but if I'm not, and I don't think I am, then hopefully this will wake you up to some of the things that you can do to better prepare for this. But also, you know, to be able to just understand that regardless of what government we have, what, you know, political party is elected, what, you know, riots happen or any of this stuff, you will never be disappointed that you became the best version of what you could possibly be. You will never be, like, regardless of all the craziness, like, if riots and protests and all this stuff and everything breaks out, craziness and all of this evil comes to your doorstep, you will be better equipped to deal with it. If absolutely none of that happens, chances are there will still be other struggles and other things that come your way this year that you will still be better equipped to deal with. So the ultimate answer to whether we have chaos or whether we don't is to become the best version of yourself so you can handle that. When you feel good about yourself, when you feel good about the training that you're doing, the amount of water that you're drinking or whatever else, right? Like when you feel good about yourself, it is amazing how much better you can handle any of those bad things that come your way. And so that would be the biggest thing going into 2024 that I would encourage you to do is to absolutely become the best version of yourself. Now, having said that, let's just do one goal, right? Now that I talked, we wouldn't really do goals, but I do kind of want to know one goal because the last couple of years we've done a couple of goals and we've, you know, one thing, okay, I do want to back up. One thing I'm really proud of. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So really I'm kind of involved in two businesses. Obviously Crosso Meats. Let's start there. Okay. We just had our best month that we've ever had by like December 11th, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, this December in Crosso Meats absolutely shattered the best month that we've ever had.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's way awesome.
Right? We launched the soap.
Yep. Yep.
What else?
Launched the soap, did some holiday offers, some kind of special things we did with, you know, some other local businesses, our cheeses and so forth, and yeah, soaps and salves, and had an awesome bunch of different corporate things we did and some awesome people that came forward and did things with us. And
we were able to launch our biggest also.
Yeah.
Crosso Christmas
was the largest Crosso Christmas we've ever done. And
literally
send something
hundreds
out about that
and
tomorrow.
Hundreds and hundreds of pounds of meat.
Yep. Yep.
That we were able to give away a couple of local people, a couple of which I've known forever.
Yep.
Couple of people who weren't local.
Other side of the country, literally.
Other side of the country. Yep. Just people who were super grateful. Like literally one of the messages that we got about brought me to tears. Yep. So not only did we have like our best month of the year, but I would also say probably one of our most fulfilling months of the year.
Definitely.
So I know that like some of our goals last year were obviously around our business and, you know, we're scaling up again this coming year. Obviously, we appreciate everybody who supports us. Go buy yourself some Crosso Meats and some soaps, of course, right? Might as well throw that in there. And then also, like another cool, like personal win for me this year was, you know, I help out with digital sales for another company, was able to, in the course of the past year, double their sales, roughly close to $2 million a month in sales on that company. So that's been super cool. Mm-hmm. So not only is like the Crosso Meat stuff going in the right direction, but with Aletha, that actually just going through the roof as well the past few months. And so from the business side, it's all been good, mm-hmm. right? Been
yep.
pretty good.
All been good, yep.
Yeah. So having said that, let's just say one goal. That's it. You have one goal for 2024. I haven't even this any thought myself yet,
I know, me neither.
Honestly.
Goodness. I only...
It could be a personal goal. It could be a business goal.
Well, I think...
I kind of feel like it should be a personal goal.
Well, I was going to say, I think this is the one that I thought of earlier, since it came to my first to mind, and so I think it's important, and it's involving both of us, so I think it's good.
Uh-oh.
I think that this
Don't
year...
Don't bring me into your goals.
I think this year, one of my main goals, and I guess to put a tangible piece on it, I don't know, but just to focus on our marriage more. I think it's been a really, he's laughing.
Not laughing.
What a gosh. See, you make me go first and then I just feel like a big idiot. I think that it's just been a really busy year. So I know, you know, things like date nights and stuff like that hasn't occurred nearly like it has in other seasons of our life. And so that's just something where I think that as it's just going to get busier and we have, you know, now kids in high school sports and middle school sports and club sports and this and that and, you know, ranch stuff and just all the things going on is just to make sure that we also make time for us as well.
Hmm.
So now you can laugh more, jerk face.
No.
Gosh. See what I deal with?
You brought up me being involved. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, I said we want to spend time, focus on our marriage. And you're like,
washer again,
you're like, ha, 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 ha.
No, it was more like, more goals.
Whatever.
It's like, do you want me to go unclog the washing machine again? 10 o'clock at night? Or, oh, you guys have no idea how much I'm getting glared at right now. Oh, all right.
I want to change my goal.
Change your goal? Find a new husband?
No.
Good luck.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, all right. So my goal.
Whatever.
I think does tie into that to a certain degree, but I feel like this year, kind of along the same lines that you talked about, is it has been such a crazy year. And I'm not using this as an excuse, but apparently I am using it as an excuse, which is like literally this year. And I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and I won't go into the full extent of it because, you know, even though I kind of tell you guys everything on here, there are some things I want to keep private. But we were kind of talking about a family, let's just say someone close to the family. And they were kind of going through some hard things. And this person just really doesn't seem to be willing to work. And, you know, I brought up just kind of what my day-to-day life looks like. And I don't say this to, like, ask for sympathy or, you know, to play a victim or anything else. But, you know, this person just doesn't seem to want to work or, you know, can't seem to hold work or steady job. And it's like, it's just like, geez, I have a hard time feeling sympathy because it's like, I wake up and, you know, I, so oftentimes it's like, I wake up and, you know, I work out and I try to sit in my sauna as much as I can. And then I, you know, I have a couple of work calls for this. And then, you know, I, you know, have all my stuff with Aletha. And then I have all my stuff with Crosso Meats. And, you know, we have a ranch on top of that. And, you know, I have family and I coach high school football. And, you know, now we have a daughter who's playing varsity sports and basketball, which is a lot of games, and middle school sport. Like it was one of those things to where it was like, you know, I am so busy all the time. Just so much stuff. I feel like I have like 16 different jobs. I have no sympathy for somebody who's not willing to have one. And that is something to where sometimes I worry a little bit about, like, just my ability to sympathize for people or to maybe feel bad for people. But it's so hard for me to look at my life and the day-to-day, I mean, I wouldn't even say chaos, but it's like on the verge of that. Like, you know, it's not full chaos, but it's like just right below chaos sometimes.
Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. There we go. And it's like, I feel like I have 16 different jobs and what, I'm supposed to feel sorry for somebody who won't carry one. But because of all of those different things going on, you know, all of the stuff that has been going on between sports and coaching and, you know, my kids and, you know, the different jobs, blah, 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 all of this stuff. I feel like I have lacked personal discipline this year. And I've kind of sacrificed some of my personal discipline in terms of like eating the right stuff, maybe being as disciplined on my workouts because it's like, well, if I don't work out, then, you know, I can go in and get some coffee and get to work a little, maybe a few minutes early or whatever. And I feel like I've sacrificed a lot of kind of my personal discipline for that. And so this year in 2024, my goal is to be the most disciplined that I've ever been. And how I define that is 6 days a week of working out, eating clean the way that I like to eat, which is mostly meat, and sticking to my morning routines, my reading, getting back to almost like the 75 hard, which we're going to do again. So if y'all want to join us, let us know.
Coming soon.
Yeah. We did 75 hard at the beginning of last year, which was great. And then after that, I feel like I just kind of let it go. Like my discipline was not where I want it to be. And it's not where I feel like it should have been. I was good here and there, but there was no consistency with it. And so this 41st year on this earth, I am looking to be the most disciplined that I've ever been because I do feel like in order to achieve some of the goals that I have, it's all going to start with the discipline. So there you go.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good enough.
See, I didn't laugh at you.
I didn't laugh at you. It's more so the fact that you're like, I want to work on our marriage after you were just yelling at me to unclog a washing machine.
I didn't yell at you one time.
Okay, that was last night.
I did not yell at you.
came in, flipped the light on. I was like, you're in bed? You didn't say
that. I didn't turn the light on.
Oh, you just looked at me in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I did.
Stormed off.
And I went to go fix the washing machine.
How far did you get on that?
I couldn't.
Oh, okay. So who fixed it?
You today.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
All right. So we're going into 2024. Any last words of wisdom, advice, anything else that you want to leave the peeps with?
Nope.
Nothing?
No.
You have nothing?
I have nothing.
Ever since I smirked at you, you've just decided you didn't want to talk anymore, huh?
I shared already. I gave him my thoughts, my ideas.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed this year of the Primal King podcast, and hopefully 2024 will bring you everything that you want, everything that you desire. But again, you're going to have to go out there and earn it. I think it is going to be a chaotic year, but at the same time, no reason to buy into the hype, the fear, any of that type of stuff. Go out there and absolutely crush your goals. Become the best version of yourself. If you do want to get on like a 75 hard or something like that, just to build that mental toughness, that discipline, hit us up. We're going to be starting that toward the end of January. There's a group of us doing it. So let us know if you want to get in. But here's the one disclaimer. Do not get into this with us. If you want to do something like 75 hard, don't come into it and then half-ass it, because that just ain't going to happen. Right.
Nope. And no 75 soft or medium.
No 75 medium soft.
You're not committing the whole time, 75 days. Don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it. Yeah. Don't even think about it. Just don't bother us with that. But if you are committed and you're willing, I would love to have some people hop into this with us. And it's always more fun, let's say, when you do it as a group. So there you go. All right, everybody. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.